Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas from the Montour County Historical Society. My name is Terry Diener, a member of the Board of Directors, and your host for the podcast, History Speaks. The Society is currently closed during the winter months, planning for the year ahead. We began hosting speakers in 2018 and are planning for those events again during the coming year. Just a reminder that memberships are available on an individual basis for $20 for 2019 and $30 for a family living under one roof. Lifetime memberships are also available. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about Christmas in Montour County and some of the traditions associated with it. A great resource for those traditions is a book written a number of years ago entitled Christmas in Pennsylvania by Alfred L. Shoemaker. One of the traditions in that book comes from Danville newspaper editor and the author of Montour County's history, D.H.B. Brower. The custom was called barring out the schoolmaster. It had its roots in the 18th century parochial schools for the most part. Under the system prior to the introduction of public schools in the 1830s, each pupil paid the teacher by the day. And logically, the Christmas season, which was the traditional gift-giving time of the year, became the customary time to put the annual squeeze on the local teacher. Brower wrote, "One day in the year, the master's anger was braved, and that was in the time-honored custom of barring out the schoolmaster on Christmas. On that great occasion, a plot being previously laid, the scholars assembled long before school time and piled up seats to barricade the door. All preparations made, they waited the coming of the schoolmaster. At last, he came, and with threats alarmed the most timid pupils, but the big boys, no less determined, withstood the onset. An agreement to give free pardon and a general treat to the school was slipped out under the door, with the offer of opening the door if the master would sign and return the paper. Sometimes he returned it with his signature at once. Other times he kept them in prison for the day and punished them besides." Shoemaker in his book said perhaps the best known of all beliefs in Pennsylvania is that cattle in the barn can be heard to talk on Christmas Eve between 11 and 12 o'clock. The old-timers will tell you that special gifts are required to understand what the cattle are saying. A person born on Christmas Eve between 11 and midnight is said to possess this gift. Likewise, farmers would go out in the barn Christmas Eve where they set about throwing some hay down in the barnyard. It lay there all night long. In the morning, wet with Christmas dew, this hay was then fed to every horse and cow in the stables. The farmers believed if they did this, none of their valuable animals would die between then and the following Christmas season. In Lehigh County, farmers used to believe that bees crawled about on the outside of their hives Christmas night, no matter how cold, no matter whether it was mild or snowing. Also, during the Christmas season, Pennsylvania women were not supposed to sew or spin. Cloth spun between Christmas and New Year's, it was believed, would not wear well. Shoemaker in his book said that Pennsylvania's weather lore concerning the Christmas season was also a well-known item. If the ground was white on Christmas, it would be green on Easter. Or if green on Christmas, then white on Easter. And if between Christmas and New Year the geese waddled in the mud, they would do so every single month of the following year. And finally, the number of snowfalls, it was believed, could be foretold for the winter. This was indicated by the number of days from the first snowfall of the season until Christmas Day. In the mid-19th century, Kris Kringle was the most often used name for the Christmas bringer of gifts in Pennsylvania, the Pottsville Miner's Journal. December 26, 1846, published this article. "Does not one remember the days of his childhood when the stockings were hung by the fireplace and the good St. Nicholas, better known to most children as Kris Kringle, filled them up to the brim with the luxuries of childhood?" Our neighbors in Pottsville also shared this newspaper article in the Miner's Register dated December 24, 1853. "Little stockings will be suspended by cook stoves and grates, chimney corners, and by old-fashioned fireplaces on that memorable 24th. Red, blue, black, and new, old, darned, and tattered. Ventilation stockings in each hole will be carefully tied up with tow strings by the provident little owner, lest some unexpected treasures will spill out. Montour County historian Helen Sishaws wrote in her column, Moments in Time, that in 1847 and 1848, the favorite gifts of the young set were books, toys, cakes, candies, and confections. The weather those years was not cooperative for the load St. Nick would haul in his sleigh, but the shops in Danville were filled with sweets, fanciful and substantial, and other articles suited to the season. On Christmas, dull care was to be suspended, and the boys were out exhibiting with their fire squibs, short pipes filled with a combustible matter. Christmas Eve 1776 was a memorable night for George Washington and his troops, among them a man who came to live in Riverside, Northumberland County, after the Revolutionary War. Washington and his troops were fighting despair with a low morale after several months of defeats. Washington decided to cross the Delaware and surprise some 1,400 soldiers in a Hessian garrison in Trenton, New Jersey. It took 4 hours of marching through the snow to reach the site of the crossing. Troops were pulling 18 cannons and horses and lots of ammunition. Upon reaching the Delaware, all types of boats were gathered for the crossing. Jacob Gerhardt, later of Riverside, was one of those collecting boats and was also assigned to guard them on the New Jersey side in order to destroy them if the Continentals did not return, so the enemy could not use them to reach Pennsylvania. But Washington and his troops did make it back after a victory and the capture of nearly 1,000 Hessians at their garrison. The Battle of Trenton invigorated the American Revolution. Let's fast forward to another war. The year 1943 was one in which those serving would find themselves away from home and families once again. The song lyrics, I'll Be Home for Christmas, were written by Kim Gannon and composer Walter Kent. It was originally recorded by Bing Crosby in 1943, and it quickly became one of America's most popular holiday songs. It was written from the perspective of a soldier during World War II who was dreaming of a place far away filled with the memories of Christmas's past. That song struck a nerve with overseas GIs and their families awaiting their return. The GI magazine said Crosby accomplished more for military morale than anyone else of that era. And now, our wish from the Montour County Historical Society is that you will be home for Christmas, sharing memories and making new memories with your loved ones. Merry Christmas! And happy holidays.
I'll be home for Christmas, if only